Tonight's episode of the 31st Lap Podcast is brought to you by DirtTrackDigest.com. If it's on dirt, it's on Dirt Track Digest.
This is the 31st Lap Podcast, recorded live in the studios of FingerLakes1.com in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now, your host is Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, and that is definitely the wrong slide for the 31st lap. Here we go. FingerLakes1.tv. Mike Mallett is ringing in right now just as we're going live. Hey, Mike, we got you. Hey. Hey, how's everything going? Hang on, let me put you into, see if we can't put you into this bracket over here so that we can hear you.
I don't know what you just said. I'm too drunk.
Well, this is definitely a surprise. What's going on?
I'm drunk at Williamsville. You know, when we could have raced tonight, but it rained out for a gay reason because of rain. So,
all right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm surprised. So Williams Grove raining out officially. New home for Super Dirt Week is kind of the angle that we're approaching from tonight.
Oh, you know what I say, Park? That would have sucked, man. That's it. Period. 100%.
Yeah.
I know this doesn't help us with the, let's do a radio show for you, but I'm way too drunk to be having a serious conversation. That makes sense or no?
You're not making a lot of sense, buddy. I should probably let you go.
That's what I'm telling you. I'm hammered.
Okay. No problem. I'll catch up with you later on.
We got to figure some shit out because it's way too hard right now.
Okay.
Again, I'm drunk, but I'll tell you this, Chris. I'm honest up front, Dave Bragg. Shut the fuck up. I'm honest up front. And we got to figure out a way to make it better, you know?
Right.
I know. It's a lot of work for what we got. We got a date, and that's it. You know, you got to be perfect on the date, and it sucks.
Well, we can revisit this thing here when you get back from Williams Grove.
Are you coming to Super Dirt Week or no?
I'm not sure yet what's happening. That's another topic that I can get with you with sometime when we're off the air.
All right, well, let me know, and if you need help, if you don't ask when you tell me, I'll get you on the list if you want.
All right, we'll touch base on this when you get back from Williams Grove.
Okay, so when Williamsville's done, when I'm sober, you want this space.
I'll catch up with you when everything Williams Grove dries out.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
There goes Mike Mallett. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for calling in. Mike Mallett having a great time down there, and unfortunately all the action raining out down there at Williams Grove. Awaiting a phone call from Stephen Ovens, who's joining us from up in Buffalo. As you can hear, Mike so eloquently point out that Super Dirt Week will be having a new home moving forward. It's going to move to Central New York Raceway Park, which is Glenn Donnelly's new facility out there in Hastings, New York. That news breaking this week, coming on the heels of Super Dirt Week's relocation by none other than the governor of New York State, announcing that that's going to be moving. And some interesting details coming out about that 10-year agreement being signed by Dirt Car to keep it in Central New York. On top of that, the governor promising that New York Tourism is going to be doing part of the advertising of Super Dirt Week as well, in hopes of generating new fans, new interest, and a little bit of a broader reach for Super Dirt Week. So an end of an era, obviously, but when you close a window, you open a door. So we'll see what this does, in fact, bring. It was kind of interesting cruising some Facebook stuff. Dirt Modifieds, DART Modifieds -1980 East Coast are looking for pictures from 1972, right up through the 80s, 90s, stuff like that. But basically, anytime you've got a vintage picture from one of the vintage era Super Dirt Week events that was held there in Syracuse, they're looking for those photos and all sorts of conversation and banter going on there. And then obviously you drop a a stone into still water and it's going to make ripples. You drop a rock into rough waters and it makes even larger waves with like this does. So a lot of folks reminiscing, talking about it. The governor was at a meet and greet. You could go to a couple of different Facebook pages that are covering it. In effect, Central New York Raceway Park being featured on Race Pro Weekly right now with some diagrams of that gorgeous Central New York Raceway Park projected facility. So that's kind of cool. The governor getting a chance to look inside one of those big block modifieds that was owned by, I believe it was Larry White's car. That was the one that they were taking a look at. Kind of interesting. Looking ahead to this weekend before we get to Super Dirt Week, we'll get into a little bit more of that conversation with Stephen Ovens here momentarily. Outlaw 200 weekend on deck, so exciting to kind of watch that as it comes to pass. The big weekend here a couple weeks back, the Duel of the Demon. Likewise, Onyx weekend, both suffering, like everything else that was planned that same weekend, to rain. And looks like we've got a lot of that crummy weather out of the way this week, so hopefully things will clear off a little bit for the weekend, and we can see that Outlaw 200 event roll off. There's action planned for tomorrow, additional action planned for Saturday. We're going to dive into that a little bit more once we got our buddy on here. Let's see if we can't track Steven down here. There he is, right on cue. You there?
Yeah.
All right. Let me reset the rack here. Probably a little bit hard to hear me there. Okay, so Steven, you there?
Yeah, we're here.
All right, awesome. I was just starting to stumble a little bit. I was completely thrown off here a few moments ago when none other than Mike Mallett called in, and he liked the racetrack out there at Williams Grove. It is heavily saturated, and that was a complete curveball because the young lad was struggling a little bit to make sense. I don't know if you can. he was under duress, to say the least, but I anticipate he's going to feel a lot better this afternoon than he is tomorrow morning, rest assured. But we're talking a little bit about Outlaw 200 weekend on deck here coming up at Fulton Speedway. We've got the Dutch Hoag National Open scheduled for the end of the month over there at Black Rock. We've got Super Dirt Week and the new home being announced by Governor Cuomo for Super Dirt Week. I mean, lots of news and still lots of racing going on here and as we move towards Halloween even.
Yeah, it's really kind of a crazy time of the year. I mean, you get all these big races and, you know, there's so much to pick from, so many stories to follow, and, you know, you have enough to talk about, enough stories to be told, and then you throw in Super Dirt Week getting a new home and all of the support that's being thrown toward Central New York Raceway Park, and, you know, I mean, there's so much buzz going on right now that, you know, it's kind of wild to think that there's all this buzz and we haven't even made it to the fairgrounds
yet. Right. Yeah, that's true. You know, I imagine there's going to be more announcements. I'm a little surprised that they broke the news when they did. I kind of anticipated that was going to be closer to Super Dirt Week on that big media day that they have planned during Super Dirt Week all the time. So I'm wondering if there's yet another rabbit that's going to be pulled out of the hat.
Yeah, it seems like there usually is at the media luncheon, and I'll be honest, I was pretty surprised myself to find out that, you know, they were going to be making the announcement a week before, because there usually is that one thing that everybody's going to be talking about after the media luncheon, and I feel like we already have that now, but like you said, I agree with you, Chris, I think there might be yet another piece that we're not, you know, aware of yet. And maybe that's the case, maybe it's not, I'm not sure. But, I mean, certainly, you know, this is kind of my take on the whole deal. As soon as they made the announcement that they were tearing down the fairgrounds, I not only as a media person, but as a race fan, and as a big fan of Super Dirt Week, I was really, really angry, really bitter about the whole situation. And I don't know why, but this week has really kind of changed my mood about it. when they say that they're going to tear down the grandstands, my first thought was they're taking away the event that
we all love so much. And, you know, I think the news this week of the new location and the support that is behind, you know, building this new facility and seeing the potential of what that could be has really kind of shifted my mood a bit. And I'm a little disappointed at some of the negativity that's taken place with, not with all the race fans, but, you know, just a small percentage really in the grand scheme of things. But, you know, I really changed my mood about the situation. I feel pretty positive about it. And I'm, you know, doing my best to try and, you know, let other people see how many positive things are going to come from this.
Well, I like that. I mean, there's been a huge vote of confidence put in there with the 10-year agreement to keep it in Central New York. Now, specifics of that contract, does that mean just Central New York? Does it mean Central New York Raceway Park? Whatever that means, you know, there's obviously going to be some specifics that we need to see a little bit more clearly. I don't feel like we got a clear picture of what keeping it in Central New York means, at least in some of the press releases that I read. Take it or leave it. Nonetheless, though, having it moving to Hastings if you've seen the renderings, this place is going to be spectacular when it's done. And to move it there, there's obviously going to be plenty of room. It answers a lot of the needs that we've talked about in terms of camping and space and pits and things along those lines. So I think we're going to be just fine on that front. And, you know, the governor's move with New York Tourism jumping behind it and being an aid is going to be a big thing to help the transition. I think that that's going to be a big, big aid in directing more people to Super Dirt Week as an event and an attraction versus a race. You know, do you follow what I'm saying there?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think that Governor Cuomo the other day, and regardless of your political feelings about Cuomo, the thing that struck me the other day, yesterday, in the announcement was I felt like that was the first time I had heard him say that, you know, the racing history at the fairgrounds and with Super Dirt Week is something that's important and that needs to keep going. And I feel like that was the first time I had heard him or any other state official refer to all the history. I mean, we all talked about how much history and tradition and all of that in trying to save the Moody Mile.
Right.
But I feel like that was the first time I had heard any of the government officials refer to the fact that there is a lot of history with Super Dirt Week, and we need to keep it, A, we need to keep it in New York, and B, keep it in the vicinity of Central New York. And maybe that's part of why my attitude has changed a little bit. I don't know.
It's a nice vote of confidence, that's for sure. I mean, I like, we mentioned a minute ago, DRT Modified's 1980 East Coast. It's a Facebook group. I don't know if you're familiar with it. I anticipate that with the follower group that they've got, you're probably one of them. It's a pretty well-attended page, but it's DIRT Modified's 1980 East Coast. They're looking for vintage pictures. And I don't know if you had a chance to get up there and look at any of those yet, but good God, man. Some of the outstanding artwork and what the cars looked like and just the documentation of history that they've got beginning to take form on there. By the time we get to Super Dirt Week and the championship races on Saturday and Sunday next week, that place is just going to be clogged. You're going to be able to look at pictures for hours on there.
Yeah, and I'm encouraged by the positive response that Jeff Hockman and the crew with Super Dirt Week have received from the past champions of the race, you know, to go along with that theme, Chris. It really sounds like there's going to be a who's who of drivers and team owners or team members that are going to take part of this finale at the fairgrounds. So if you're a Modified fan, a history buff with Super Dirt Week and the Northeast Dirt Modifieds, I mean, this is going to be your playground all week next week and next weekend.
Yeah, I already saw the banners on the local Napa store here in town. There's pictures of all different manner of car and past winners and things like that on the banner that's right here in Seneca Falls, and they've certainly embraced it. I kind of feel like Dirt Car didn't have a choice. You know what I mean? If you look at some of the writing on the wall when this thing started to really come unglued and it was very, very apparent that we were going to lose Super Dirt Week as we know it at the fairgrounds, you also looked at the posturing and the momentum that Central New York Raceway Park was getting, and then you couple that with what Glenn Donnelly was able to do when he stepped into Rolling Wheels and immediately landed some major sponsors, immediately drew some significant cars. I think they knew that he was coming to the end of his non-compete clause. And it almost seems as though Dirt Car looked around and said, you know what, we're either going to get swallowed up or we need to make friends with this guy. And I guess that the latter seemed to make more logical sense, and we were able to put egos aside, perhaps. I mean, outside looking in, you're able to put egos aside and really do what was best for the sport. And I think that the sport's in real good shape right now, and Super Dirt Week obviously is on some pretty healthy footing as well.
Absolutely, and you know, for both Glenn and for Dirt Car, I mean, this just makes sense because, you know, Glenn's not coming in and creating a brand new series. He's not coming in and creating a new sanctioning body or anything of the sort. He is promoting a racetrack, and it's going to be a first-class racetrack at that. And, you know, for an outsider like myself looking in, I mean, that just makes sense. That's a perfect pairing. And I think you're right on. You hit the nail on the head when you said that, you know, it's either, you know, we team up and you know, that's the thing at the end of the day. This is a win-win. This is a win for Super Dirt Week. It's going to have a facility that, you know, it would have been a huge challenge. I know a lot of people looked at Rolling Wheels as being the new venue for Super Dirt Week, but that was so... there were so many parts of that did not make sense. You know, the facility, the improvements you would have had to made to the facility to be able to host an event like Super Dirt Week was huge. You know, so there's just so many parts of this that just made sense. And I think a lot of people, I don't think there were a lot of people that were surprised with the announcement yesterday. I think a lot of us saw it coming. It just was a matter of, you know, them making the decision and making it public, because there was so much of it that, you know, it just made sense. And if it hadn't gone in the direction, you know, I think there would have been a lot more people scratching their head about the whole deal. Now, the next key part to the whole operation, Chris, is they have a lot of construction to start kicking off now. And you know, they say that the dirt track will be ready by Memorial Day. The only thing that, when they say it's going to be ready by Memorial Day, I don't have any construction background to say, no, you guys are crazy. But, you know, we are in October and not in July, August. And, you know, every day that, you know, things aren't happening is another day lost. So,
right.
You know, it's there's a lot of things that are going to happen quickly, but with the state working with them as they have, you know, that was a huge piece to this is, you know, do they have all of the, you know, the certificates, the everything that goes into building what they're trying to build. And, you know, without that cooperation from the state and funding and things like the I Love New York deal, without all those things coming together, that was going to make this an awful big challenge. And who knows where we would have seen it, you know, as a placeholder next year. So, but they got a lot of work to do over there.
So Fulton Speedway on deck this weekend, Dutch Hoog National Open weekend coming up here at the end of the month, Thursday. Will Call, it's tonight right now. Will Call is going on. I should stand corrected. That has concluded. That wrapped up at 7 o'clock. I thought that went until 8. My mistake. Tomorrow night, 15 lap modified qualifiers. Winners earn 17th to 20th place starting spots in the 200. We've got the Industrial Tire of Central New York Sportsman Shootout heats and consolations. The late model 50 lapper. the Mod Light Championship over there, four cylinders on the card, Novice Sportsman. Ticket sales open at noon. Hot Laps are 6, racing at 7. Saturday is the main card, the 30th annual Snoco Fulton Ethanol Facility, presented by SUNY Canton. 200 lap for the modifieds, last chance qualifiers, and the 50 lap race for the industrial tire of Central New York Sportsman. Guys, pit gates open at 11, grandstands open at noon, hot laps at 3, racing begins at 4:30. So Fulton ready to roll off with the Outlaw 200 weekend. Tough to bet against two freezing right now in that event.
Yeah, you're right about that. You know, the way that Stewart has been able to position himself with all of these great car owners. I mean, Stu said it here about a month and a half ago, you know, with the cooperation with all their teams, they're able to bring a fresh piece to every event they go to.
Right.
And even for some of your bigger teams, like the Gypsum cars or anybody of that sort, I mean, I don't even know that those guys can really say that they're truly bringing a 100% fresh piece every time they go out, you know. So that's what's made Stewart so great. And, you know, they've got a lot going. He would be a tough guy to bet against. And I'll tell you, the Outlaw 200, I've heard people say it before, that is probably one of the best one-day modified events of the year. The amount of cars they get. I remember last year, those heat races were intense. I mean, one heat race was just stacked with talent, and if you weren't rubbing rails coming up through the field, you weren't going to qualify. Just a great event there at Fulton.
And then you guys are on deck here pretty soon again, opening up one more time the 23rd and 24th at Black Rock.
Yeah, that's true. Mother Nature dealt us a little bit of a challenge on night two of Onyx Summit weekend. So all of the feature events from that Saturday night have now been moved over to night number one for Dutch Hoag National Open weekend. We're going to start the night off after hot laps. We start with the $2,500 to win, $200 to start Crate Sportsman feature. All the cars that qualified for that feature will be able to take part in that. Then we have a $600 to win street stock feature and a $1,000 to win NY6A Micro Sprint Tour race. That's their championship event. And for all of those classes that are coming to finish the racing that night, well, actually, they all have another chance to race that night as well. With the event being more than half complete back in September, there were no rain checks issued. And so being that was the case, all of those divisions will make up their features, but they'll also have an opportunity to run in another regularly scheduled event that night. So for those guys, it's you know, a good opportunity to come out, two chances to win, two chances to, you know, be paid out wherever you finish that night. And the street stocks that night, they'll be doing 10-lap dash races. Champion Power Equipment jumped on board with BlackRock and with the Stark family. They're helping us promote the event again in October. And we're going to be running 10-lap dash races with a maximum of 15 cars. If we get 30 cars, we'll run two dash races and so on down the line. But it'll be 10 laps, maximum of 15 cars, and the winner will walk away with some piece of power equipment from Champion, as well as a guaranteed starting spot for Saturday's Empire 100. So that's going to be a great opportunity for guys to get their first shot to make the field. And if you make the field, it's $200 in your pocket just to take the green,
right,
for the 100. So we're excited about that.
We're going to be talking to track champion Jared Hill here in a few minutes a little bit about the Empire 100 and the season that he's had over there at Black Rock. You're up in Buffalo tonight. You get a chance to at least drive by and see any tracks that you've never been able to visit before out in that neck of the woods. I know last time when you were on your way to Pittsburgh, you did a little bit of tourist action.
Yeah, you know, every time I come out here, I obviously always drive down the thruway and drive past Lancaster, and I've never been out there, but with all of the things that they have done there, you know, to revive that place this season, unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to get out there, but that is a place that I would really like to go. The last time I was out here in Buffalo was... I believe that was the week that they had the Alex Friesen Summer Nationals out at Ransomville, and that only ended up being about a 20-minute drive, so that worked out great. I love going to Ransomville. That is such a great racetrack, and it was, you know, we talked about Friesen earlier. That was another one of those events where it's like, you know, that's just Stewart doing what he does.
So. Well, did you see his performance in the sprint car? Over at Fonda over the weekend?
Yeah.
was that crazy?
Yeah.
Three, four near misses. The guy should have wrecked the car a couple times, but sure enough, didn't he drive out of all the messes and just ran away?
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. It's just incredible run.
You bet. I'm looking at the clock. We're gonna be catching up with Jared Hill here momentarily. I appreciate you calling in a little bit. I'm looking forward to catching up with you here at some point. But man, you've been certainly logging the miles here this fall.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's certainly taken me to cause for pause a little bit, and kind of reconsider things a little bit, because just being on the road all the time gets a little bit old, especially when it's in race season. But We'll see what happens, but appreciate the opportunity to come on and chat a little bit. And
it's always good to catch up with you.
We'll certainly do it again before Dutch Oak weekend.
We sure will. It's always good catching up with you, man. You always got some good perspective on stuff going on with Super Dirt Week, and of course we love learning about what's going on down there at Black Rock Speedway.
So we'll see you guys out there at the mile.
That's a topic that is continuing to be discussed.
Okay.
We'll get
it. Right, if we see you out there, we'll save a little bit of apple pie for you.
All right, sounds good.
All right, man.
See you later. Thanks again.
Yes, sir.
There goes Stephen Ovens, PR director of Black Rock Speedway. We're going to take a quick pause and ring up Jared Hill. Catch up with him a little bit about that weekend and Empire 100. Ringing him in now. Hopefully he answers and remembers that I told him I'd be calling him about 7:45.
Hello.
Hey, Jared, can I put you in?
Yep.
There we go. Joining us now, the track champion from Black Rock Speedway in the street stock division, Jared Hill, man. Welcome to the show. No problem. I appreciate you coming on and talking a little bit about your season over there. I know that track championship's been a long time coming, something that you've been chasing pretty hard. And sure enough, it finally came through for you this year. And now you've certainly got some momentum on your side going into the Empire 100 coming up at Dutch Hoog National Open weekend.
Yeah, we've been racing for points at Black Rock since 2001. I think my first year was, and I raced a point every year since that. So it definitely took a while, but we had a pretty good season, and hopefully carry our momentum into the Dutch Hoog weekend and win the Empire 100. That really cap off the season.
I mean, let's start first by taking a look at your Black Rock campaign. How rewarding is this? I mean, to come away with that track championship after you've been putting in, I mean, you're coming up on over two decades now. Or you're over two decades now. You're coming up on just about 15 years chasing that elusive track championship, and this was no walk in the park either, especially in the final race of the year. There was even some fireworks there, which led to you having the opportunity of lifting that track championship. How rewarding was the season, and how difficult was it to work through all the challenges that you faced through 2015?
It was definitely rewarding. We probably beginning of the year, we had a brand new car. We got it done just in time to start the season. We just kind of took a week at a time in the beginning, and next thing you know, I mean, I think I led the points from week two on. Didn't really pay much attention, and all of a sudden, I mean, the lead got bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it got to about a race, and it's strong, then it got bigger again, and then the last month, everything, last probably month and a half, everything could seem to go wrong, went wrong, and I seen a 32 or a 33-point lead go down to 5 points last night, so the thing that really helped me the last night was the handicap system. I had three horrible weeks, and Greary had three pretty good weeks, so I got to start ahead of them, and it's a lot easier starting ahead of somebody to pass them, but, I mean, I started 10th to 12th, probably majority of the year, so I know how it is. It's difficult. Class is tough, but it's definitely rewarding.
That track made the transition to bringing the street stocks back probably 10 years ago, and you've moved around a couple different divisions over there, moving away from that. It was almost a one-track-only super stock class, and then we've seen late models come and go, ebb and flow in and out of there. The IMCAs have been added. You've been in a couple different divisions over there. The street stock class, is that as competitive as it seems on paper?
Definitely. It's there's probably 10 to 12 cars that can win any night. There's Tracy Dunn, there's Balmer, Winslow, Greary, Karnowski,
yep.
Chapman, Stebbins, Cummings. There's definitely a ton of good talent in that class and cars that run up front, and then you get some invaders every once in a while, like Carpenter come up and he come right from the back of the front and got a flat. I mean, just the competitive class, no matter where you go, it's just tough.
In terms of the divisions that you run over there, which one's your favorite to run in?
Probably the street stocks.
Yeah.
I have a lot of fun running them. I'm competitive with them. It don't matter. I've always been competitive. My luck was on my side this year, so but I've always been competitive.
It's better to be lucky than good, right?
Yeah, some nights. I think that, definitely, you know, you can be as good as you want, but if you can't finish and something stupid happens every night, it don't matter.
Right. You alluded to some of the invaders, you know, looking ahead to the Empire 100. How do you feel going into that event? That's one that'd be nice to put that feather in your cap.
We feel pretty good. We just had a 100-lap or a Woodhull Saturday I ran. I only did it 20 laps, had a part failure, so, we can just keep tires, wheels on it, and keep all the parts on it. You know, get to the 50-lap break, put the fuel in, check tire wear, and get the lap 75. We'll be up in the top five. We can start racing. But tire wear is gonna be a big thing. The track's pretty abrasive right now. It was a big deal last year, so it's gonna be managed tires, or you're gonna have to take a chance coming at 50 and go to the back, and then try to get back to the front with fresh tires.
We talked a little bit about how you've been able to stay competitive in that division. You've got the outsiders coming from all over the place to take part in this event, and you got to gamble a little bit. Maybe do you want to change tires? And how hard is it to stay competitive in this division? Not only on a weekly basis, where you've got a bunch of strong cars coming right out of your backyard, but in an event like the Empire 100, you know, what's the budget like compared to some of the other cars that are there when you're looking at IMC Modifieds or Sportsmen and stuff? Is it easy to be competitive in this division, or is it something where you're spending an awful lot of money for the only return being maybe some fun?
If you can keep the tires on the car and not get a flat tire and not cut a tire, it's not a horrible price. We're getting decent payout now, so that helps. You know, makes it a little more fun to go. You know, you're not going to lose a ton of money every night. you finish in the top three, you're breaking even or you're a little bit ahead. You're never ahead, but you're a little bit ahead for the night.
Never ahead.
The tires range around, they're probably right around an IMCA tire cost, right around $106. Like I said, you can keep tires on it. Don't have a lot of part failures. It's not an expensive class. You only got to throw $10,000 to a motor like everybody thinks you do.
Right.
I sure the heck don't got that in mind.
Now, what motor's in yours?
What's that?
What motor's in yours? Would you?
I got a Chevy 355 motor, something just I've had the actually I've had the motor combination for a while. I do my own assembly, have someone else do the machine work, and I put it all together myself.
Wow, that's got to be rewarding to have something that you had your hands on and you built yourself coming away with the track championship at long last.
Yeah, it's definitely it's definitely gratifying. I do it because, like I said, I do anything I can to save a little bit of money. You know, if you save $100 here and there, that adds up to one or two more tires at the end of the year or through the year. So I try to do as much as I can myself to save a little bit of money.
How long do you get out of a set of tires? I mean, you're talking about the track getting abrasive.
Normally, I got a 20-lap feature. You know, it's not too bad. If you don't get a cut in a tire, you probably go, I don't know, I'm probably 6-8 weeks on the tire.
Oh wow!
The problem with like a long distance race is you get so much heat in them,
right?
And then it's like a piece of sandpaper for lap after lap after lap, and when it gets hot, it just chews it up faster.
Sure. Yeah, it makes sense. That rubber gets softer, and sure enough, comes apart. But that's interesting. So who else do we have to watch? I mean, I know you mentioned Ballmer there, Gene Ballmer. You mentioned C.J. Greary. We've seen a lot of the guys that are running in some of the other divisions have good luck in the Empire 100 event over there at Black Rock Speedway. Who is it that you definitely don't want to have to be trailing with a couple laps to go?
It's anybody that comes up. I mean, Shane Wolf's pretty fast. John Carpenter's pretty quick. Steve Dinehart, all them guys are quick. Gene Sharpstein. They're just, you want to position yourself to hopefully, like I said, you get down to 10 laps to go. You don't want to be any farther back than third. You want to be able to, you really want to be leading, but you don't want to be too far back. You want to be right there because you're not going to, there's going to be so many fast cars, you're not going to have very many opportunities to pass.
Do you want to move up at all? I mean, you've had some good luck in the street stocks. We talked about that. We touched on it. Is there a desire at this point to move up, or is this pretty much home?
I'm pretty sure it's pretty much home. I played in the 360 late models for a while. They were fun, but just money wise, and I couldn't be as competitive as I want to be, and just they were tricky cars, and you know I can pretty much make a street stock competitive, and I know a lot of knowledge on them, and I've learned a lot of things from a lot of people over the years that I can apply, and I can be competitive a lot of places, so I think this is pretty much home.
From Black Rock's days with the super stocks, and then the late models came back in the form of the 360 late models on a weekly basis, how much different was there between those two divisions? We're talking like
Rob. It was a lot different. You feel, like in a 360 late model, you feel a lot more suspension movement. The car moves a lot more.
Yeah.
There's a lot more components on it. So street, when you had, like when you run two of them the same night, which I've done quite a bit, it's like you get back and it feels almost flat. It takes you a couple laps to get the feel back of what that car was supposed to feel like compared to what your late model just felt like.
Right. I remember the Robbie Conklin's 75X there in the super stock divisions from years and years ago. And then there was, a guy named Axel that drove super stocks as well. And there was a white number 29. I think I want to say a Du Bois maybe drove that. And those were like ironclad pro stocks, man. They were just indestructible. And they had these giant Nerf bars on the side and they weren't afraid to use them. It was a competitive class, but it was a rough class. They didn't have a lot of straight panels left on them.
Yeah, they used to have bars all around the front and the back and both sides. Yeah, I remember all that when I was a kid.
Yep, it was a fun thing to watch. Do you still have it almost looked like a converted UPS truck, like the big box truck is your toter vehicle?
No, I actually that thing's still on the back.
Is it still around?
I had Nicole's trailer for a little while and I sold it to get the money to close on my house. Couple years ago, so now I just got an open trailer, and I bought an '83 Ford ambulance. Now,
right, the ambulance thing. Seen that a couple places. I remember Butch Tittle. Butch Tittle used to carry his modified around in a converted school bus. Pretty sure it was Butch.
Yeah, it just makes it nice to be able to keep most of your stuff dry and have compartments, and just you know, it's a instead of having a big and close trailer, I can just have this thing and I just go across the street with it.
Right. In terms of next year, I mean, we still focusing on Blackrock with the same setup, or are you going to go out and try and find a new car?
The car guy now is brand new at the beginning of the year, so I'll stick with that car. Probably going to run over here. I'd like to run for points, but we'll see what happens. I'd love to get some more sponsorship or some more money help here and there. So, I mean, this end of this year got to be a struggle a little bit. Like I said, I had a motor failure towards the end of the year, and then I had, some tire issues there towards the end. So, my plans are being restocked over here again next year.
Now, in terms of the motor issues, what did you do to fix that? You had to tear that motor down and fix it in the span of a week and make sure you're ready to get back there the following Friday night? Or did you have another motor that you could put in while that one was being fixed?
Tracy Dunn works out of my shop. He runs three stacks over here, too, and he'd taken some time off midsummer. He wanted to break and stuff, so when I broke my motor, he let me use his and finish out the last 3 weeks with, thank God for him. I had another motor on the floor, but it wasn't as good as his, so we finished up the year with his motor.
What went wrong in your 355?
Broke a timing chain. So when you break a timing chain, the belts hang down wherever they are, and the pistons keep moving. So it ended up bending about, I think, I don't know, 8 valves, and I think it cracked the heads. And
wow.
Well, so the heads are pretty much junk. The bottom end they can fix, so.
How much do you get at the end of the year for being a track champion in the street stock division?
Over here this year, I actually won a brand new Morseman racing chassis to win the championship, and I'm not sure how much the point fund is. Well, hopefully, a decent amount would be nice.
Have you got the price tag yet to fix the motor?
Probably not.
That's not good. Is it tough when that happens? I mean, this motor's carried you so far. I mean, you talk so fondly about this thing. It's something that you had your hands into yourself, and now this thing comes apart, and basically it's just going to sit on the floor until you can do some pretty extensive repairs on it.
Yeah, it definitely sucks, especially the timing of it, because like I said, Gary was having a hot streak at the end of the year, and it broke right towards the end, I think 2 weeks before the end. It was just a dumb part failure, nothing that he did or nothing anybody else did. Just, junk parts, everything's made horrible anymore.
Yeah, the street stock name is a little bit misleading. I mean, the components and the amount of work that you need to put in, it certainly isn't to the point that you're buying the custom motors and things like that, the way that you're looking at with the crate sportsman and stuff like that. But nonetheless, there's definitely an investment, and like pretty much any form of motorsport, the amount invested up front isn't nearly the return that you get on the backside, especially when you're, even if you are lucky enough to find success.
Yeah, it definitely isn't. You just got to do it because you enjoy doing it. You can't do it to make no money.
You want to make a small fortune in racing, start with a big one, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Before we let you go here, is there anybody that you wanted to make mention of that helps keep the car on the track?
I definitely got to thank Stewie and Steven Ovens for Creekside Entertainment. They're one of my big sponsors. Got to thank my wife, Jamie. Got to thank my sister, my dad, Dan. They help me here when they can, and I thank my nephew Alex. He's down here every night with me, helping me on the car. And I definitely got to thank Tracy for loaning me his motor. And he's always, we help each other on our cars, makes it a little nicer. And definitely got to thank Dylan Potter for a good chassis he built me this year.
You mentioned a few minutes ago about how the woes with the tires and things became a little bit of a struggle, especially with the motor challenges and the tire combination issues. Just wrapping up here, what does it take to get your name on the side of a street stock? I mean, how hard is it from your perspective, is it to land somebody? And then obviously anybody that is going to be on the car, they want to see some sort of return on their investment. How tough is it to cut that deal and what's it take to make that happen?
It's definitely tough. A lot of people don't want to spend the money or give the money away, I should say. Stewie and Steven are good friends, so, they enjoy seeing me race. So they want to promote their business. And, I always, try to plug them when I can. It's hard. I don't have a lot of sponsors. It's hard to get them. Some people can get them great. Some people can't. It's just difficult. People don't want to spend the money. It's hard to, everybody wants to see this big, huge profit margin from giving you a couple $100s. And you got to find someone that enjoys racing.
Sure.
As much as you do to actually want to, to own the business and want to sponsor your car.
Yeah, I believe that. It's not the same day that it used to be when every local car shop had a stock car of some sort out behind it. Those days have since passed, and likewise have gone the local mom and pop repair shops as well. There's not many of those. I shouldn't say that. I guess it's not as densely populated, maybe is a better way to say it, as what it used to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Jared, man, I wish you the best of luck coming up here at the end of October at the Dutch Hoog National Open weekend. Empire 100 on deck. Black Rock Speedway Street Stock Champion Jared Hill. Good luck down there. Appreciate you coming on the show tonight, and I look forward to an update here after we get past Dutch Hoog weekend.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Jared. We'll catch you soon.
Okay.
There goes Jared Hill talking a little bit about street stock racing down there at Black Rock Speedway with the Empire 100 just around the corner. Also, just to make a quick reminder to everybody, this weekend is the Outlaw 200. Over there at Fulton Speedway. Make sure you get over there, check that thing out. Racing on Friday begins at 7 o'clock. Modified qualifying. There's all sorts of stuff with mod lights and the 50-lapper for the late models. And then on Saturday, the rest of the Outlaw 200 program, along with the Industrial Tire Center New York Sportsman Shootout on the card. Racing, I believe, if I remember correctly, was starting at 4:30, hot laps at 3. So that's going to do it for us. We appreciate everybody jumping on and enjoying a quick dose of the 31st lap once again right here on FingerLakes1.tv. And we will be back here next week. Hopefully we'll have Mike with us. I know, once again, if anybody's missing that update, Williams Grove Raceway has rained out for tonight. Get out there. Enjoy Outlaw 200 weekend. Enjoy Super Dirt Week, the last one at the New York State Fairgrounds that is ready to celebrate its new home in Hastings, New York, at Central New York Raceway Park. That official word coming out this week, that Super Dirt Week moving to Glenn Donnelly's facility in Hastings for 2016. So the history of that chapter of Super Dirt Week has closed in Syracuse. It'll come to a conclusion here next weekend, and the new chapter with a new home, once again, back under the direction of Glenn Donnelly, ready to begin in 2016. We appreciate everybody joining us here on the 31st lap, and we will be right back here again next Thursday. Correction, no, we won't. We've got something lined up next Thursday, so we are going to be off next Thursday during Super Dirt Week. We'll be back with you after Super Dirt Week with a full recap of what happened up there at the final iteration of Super Dirt Week at the New York State Fairgrounds. We'll see you then.